Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2, Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Well, we're happy to be back home today, this week, after nice last 2 weeks traveling and visiting our daughters and grandchildren in Montana and worshiping with some wonderful congregations in Beaverton, Oregon and Salem, Oregon, and some days on the coast of Oregon. We love that, and we're happy to be back home today. And some wonderful things happening here while we were gone, with the work on the parking lot looking so nice, and the seniors getting together, having a great turnout for luncheon. The Owls, older, wiser, lovable saints. And so I like that. And I hear it went really well. Just a lot of good things that were happening here in the last few days. The ladies' Bible study on Tuesday mornings is going well. commend all of you for that. We're beginning a new Bible study on Sunday morning in the class here in the upstairs auditorium, The Life of Christ. And we'll be studying from the combination of the four Gospels, the life of Jesus Christ. And I just want to encourage all of you to come and be part of the Bible class on Sunday morning. And you will be the one that will get the benefit from that. The Lord wants us to be actively involved in the church, to be workers, to be growing in our faith. And the way we do that is by getting involved and being actively involved in all aspects and coming to Bible class on a regular basis and engaging in the Bible class. The Bible class is so beneficial because you have the opportunity to participate. And we encourage you to participate and look into the Scripture, discuss it, make comments, and you will get tremendous benefit out of that. And as the article in the bulletin indicates, that looking on Jesus is how we become genuine disciples of the Lord. And the Lord knows those who are genuine and those who are phony of His followers. So we encourage you to be actively involved and growing, and want to commend Ted for all the hard work and hours of study that he puts forth, and never receiving any compensation of the church, but just out of his dedication, the hard work that he puts into the Bible study, studying the book of Revelation right now in the class downstairs. And the ladies who teach Bible classes for the young children. Julie is not here, but works so hard on developing lessons. And Maurice is teaching. And Luana is teaching. And so a lot of good, hard labor and productive work is being done. And we want to commend all of you and encourage everyone to be actively involved in this. Because we are blessed to stand in the grace of God. And do you appreciate that? Do you appreciate the fact that we are standing in the grace of God? Has the grace of God touched your life? Has it transformed your life? Do you understand that God has given us the gift of His grace, not just so that He can bestow it upon us, but rather so that we can use it in our lives to bless and touch other people's lives with His grace? Do you really understand the implications of grace in the gift that God has given you that the apostle is speaking of when he says that we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God, and we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God? You know, when we look at the word grace, and most of us, I'm sure, probably learned this in Bible classes in Sunday school, that the definition of grace is unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. And that is a good working definition of faith. And it is a very basic level of understanding of grace. And unfortunately, that's about as far as some Christians have ever gone in their understanding of grace. I would suggest to you that there is a lot more that the Bible has to say about grace and designed to change your life because of the power of God's grace in your life. What is the favor that God has shown to us? And why is it a favor in the first place? And why is it unmerited? Why do we always say unmerited favor? Because as Americans, we believe in earning our way, and we don't really feel comfortable with the idea of unmerited favor. But that's what the definition is. So what is the meaning of grace? Why is it so important to our lives? And what am I supposed to do with grace that God has given to me? Well, is it something that I can understand, that we can understand? Because for some Christians seem to have the concept that, well, this is a theological discussion. This is something that the professors talk about. This is something for the theologians to discuss. It's not something that I need to worry myself about. If they say that it's unmerited favor, that's fine by me, and that's all we need to worry about. And a few passages come to mind, like in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And that's it. That's all we need to know. Well, that's unfortunately is the way some Christians, I believe, look at grace, do not really grow in their understanding and appreciation of it, and it doesn't really move them. It doesn't really do anything for them and change them in the way that it is supposed to do. Some Christians talk about grace a lot, and it is a feeling that they feel good that we are saved by grace. But again, grace is not defined by our feelings. It is not meant for that. It's meant to be something that we know what the implication is of grace and what it does for us and what we are supposed to do as a result of it. It is given for a purpose, in other words. And God's gifts are never given casually or lightly. They're not given just so that God gives us something to be giving it to us. It's meant that we would use it in a powerful way to bless and touch other lives. And in the process, to glorify God, that He would receive the glory from His grace that He has bestowed upon us. In order for this to happen in our lives, we do need to make a personal investment of study and enrichment of the study of grace. Because these things are written for each of us to know and understand and love and be moved by. God gave His grace to you and to me, not just to the church as an institution, and not just as a concept, but as a part of our relationship with God. And when the Bible speaks of why the words of God in the Scriptures are written, John chapter 20 expresses it well. It says, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that you may have life through His name." There's a powerful, practical reason that the Bible speaks about the grace of God, so that it will impact you in a way that your life will never be the same. And other people that you come in contact, their life will never be the same because of what it has done for you. And in too many cases, it's not happening in the lives of Christians, because Christians fail to understand or fully grasp. There are too many questions that we have about the proper understanding and application, and there needs to be a proper balance. And the Bible provides that for us, because some would maybe apply grace, and do, I believe, in a wrong way. Others, because of not feeling comfortable about grace, or not trusting, not believing in the grace that God has promised to us, shy away from it. Don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. And yet, it is such a part of the Scripture, and God gives it to us for a reason. In fact, He refers to the gospel as the gospel of grace. The gospel of grace. See the importance of it through that. As God looks at humanity, He divides us into two groups. He divides us into those who are saved by grace on the one hand, and those who are unmoved by grace on the others. Those who believe in Him and in His Son, and those who reject His Son. And so it is a difference between those who receive and are changed by the grace of God, and those who refuse to and see no real importance in it. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 24, Paul said, "I received from the Lord Jesus the mission that He was given to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." But in Galatians chapter 1, when writing to the Galatians, he said, "I marvel that you are so quickly turning away from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel." And he went on to say there that if any preach a different gospel, they would be anathema. So in many ways, the gospel of Christ and the grace of God are interlinked, and they're so closely associated that when we accept the gospel, the good news of God, we are receiving His grace. And if we do not receive His grace, then we are turning away from His gospel. The gospel is the gospel of the grace of God. Grace is the overriding central blessing that is given through the gospel in our lives. So in Romans 3 and verse 21, when Paul is writing about the gospel and writing about the salvation that is given through Christ, contrasting the law with the gospel, with faith in Christ, he says that the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. This grace was witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely, however, by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So here is a wonderful description of grace and how, as it relates to our salvation. It is a very positive word, grace is. Always. It would be difficult to find a single example of the language where the word grace is ever used in a negative way. It is, unless sarcastically, someone trips over the rug and someone will say, "Well, nice going, Grace." And they are using it in a sarcastic, but the meaning of the word is positive. It is pleasant. It, from the Latin word, means pleasing and elegant, refined, polished, or attractive. Generous, well-mannered, considerate, warm, gentle, and courteous. Now, these are just the general secular understanding of grace. We might talk of someone who carries themselves with grace, an artist or an athlete is graceful. And so it is always associated in a positive way, not a negative way, when the word is used. But in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the word grace, from the Hebrew word, it meant to stoop down. And therefore carried the meaning of favor or kindness. Now, it would be the sense that a king or someone of a higher position stooping down to the level to show kindness to someone that was maybe of a subject to the ruler. We might use it in the sense of an adult stooping down with one of the children to hug them. And it is that type of meaning of grace. To come down from a position and show kindness to the person lower. That is what is carried with the idea of grace in the Old Testament. In Psalm 84 and verse 11, he said, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly." The Lord will give grace and glory. He will stoop down. When He sees those who walk uprightly, He will bless them. He wants to have a relationship with us in our lives. This was linked in the customs of the Old Testament with where the ruler, if you went in uninvited, then it could be your life could be taken. Like if you were wanting to see the king, and the king didn't invite you to come in, and you just walked in, it could mean your life. So the favor of the king was associated with life and with the acceptance of the ruler, the king. We see this in the book of Esther, where Queen Esther was talking with her cousin Mordecai, and he was encouraging her to go before the king because of the situation of the Hebrew people were about to be put to death. And she mentioned this. She said that the custom is that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. Well, she did go in. It was very, very brave on her part, courageous. So it was, chapter 5 and verse 2, when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, that she found favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. So this was really a grace of his kindness of, yes, come forward. This was stooping down. And this is what God does with us. He accepts us. He reaches down for us, that we can be His children and be saved. In the New Testament, the word charis, in the Greek language, a benefit, a gift, or unmerited favor. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. So it is spoken of as a gift. God gives us His grace. And it is a decision that God makes to give us this grace. Once we receive this grace, we stand in His grace. And we need to see the greatness of how this is such a tremendous gift of blessing that God gives us. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9, He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Well, of course, these terms can be abused and misinterpreted and misapplied, but the gift of God's grace is an unmerited favor. It's undeserved by us. And that's why we need to understand that when God gives us His grace, we do not deserve it. God did not have to do this for us. And there is a misunderstanding of law and grace that is very common. Many people, in reading the Bible, come to the conclusion that is incorrect on this. But in John 1, 16 and 17, speaking of Christ, it says, and of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Well, it's easy to draw the conclusion from this that there was no grace in the Old Testament, and there is no law in the New Testament, that it is just a black and white contrast between the two. That is not what the Scripture teaches. There was in grace in the Old Testament, and there is law in the New Testament. What Christ did is there is a different emphasis in the work of Christ. The law of Moses was not a system of grace. It was designed to convict us of sin. It was to define sin. And the New Testament emphasis is to save the sinner. So there is an emphasis on grace in the New Testament, not to suggest that there was never any grace before that, or there is no longer any need for law, any of that. It is an emphasis that is different in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. God is the same. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. So the same God who was a God of grace in the New Testament, He was a God of grace in the Old Testament. The same God who gave law to guide and direct us was in the New Testament as in the Old Testament. That has not changed. And those who violate and disobey God will still suffer His judgment the same as they did before in the ultimate judgment of God. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. Romans 11 says, on those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in His goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. God has not changed in His character, but there is an abundance of the offer of grace through Jesus Christ. God stooped down to us to bestow His salvation, not through sending an angel, but through sending His own Son to die for our sins. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth, Jesus Christ. Whenever Jesus came to this earth and walked here upon this earth, people were touched by His grace in everything that He did. And it goes on to say that grace upon grace was poured forth. In Titus 2 and 11, he says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Grace doesn't mean that we are free to live as we want, and there is total liberty and no law and no demand of righteousness of God in our lives. The grace of God has brought salvation. We did not deserve this salvation that God has given us, that He is willing to forgive our sins. He doesn't have to do that as a righteous God. It is something we do not deserve. What do we deserve? We deserve punishment for our sins. That's what we deserve. If God allowed us to die in our sins, He would be just. He doesn't have to give His Son to die for us. It's undeserved on our part. We don't deserve to be set free from our sins. We don't deserve to be given the offer of fellowship with God in heaven. Eternal life with the Father and with the Son. In the book of Romans it says, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's an undeserved, unmerited favor that God has given. And when we study grace in the New Testament, we see that it is a bundle of blessings that God... It is like a package deal that God has given us, that when we unwrap grace, it has all many blessings, manifold blessings are given in the gospel for us. Redemption, forgiveness of our sins, access to the throne of grace, Christ being our advocate with the Father. Access, entrance to the Holy of Holies, right into the presence of God. So, grace is not just one thing that God does at the time we become a Christian, forgiving our sins at that time, but He gives us a whole blessing of abundance of gifts. It kind of makes me think about when you get married and, you know, you go to the reception and people are given all of these gifts. And then later on you sit down when you have time and you start going through, oh, well, these people gave us this gift. We need to mark that down. And you start to realize how many gifts you've been given. Becoming a Christian, we begin to unwrap those gifts that God has given us, and it just goes on and on. It says in Ephesians 1, 7 and 8, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Grace then is... See, we might say, why all this about grace? Grace is a big deal. Grace is the heart of the new covenant of the Scripture. And it's given to us to change us. That we are people of grace. We are people of peace and love and joy in our hearts because of the grace of God that has been given to us. And what we are to do with it in our lives to touch and bless other people as a result. We're changed by grace. And if not, if we haven't been changed by grace, then there is only one thing that can be is that we have not appreciated this grace. We do not see the tremendous gift that God has given us and what that means. We're not appreciative of it. We're not understanding how much God has invested and what sacrifice and cost was involved in this that He gave to us. It'd be like if somebody gave you a gift and you have no clue the value of it. You know, you get all these gifts and you're opening them up and you're putting them all over here and you understand these are really nice and you're going to use them. And another one is given that actually is more valuable than all the others. And you don't understand what it is. You say, well, we don't really need that one, I don't think. And you just toss it aside. Sometimes I think we do that with God's grace. We fail to understand. This is the most valuable gift of all that we can be given. The gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Let's stand and sing the song of invitation that's been given this morning. And we're going to invite you to come to the Lord and submit your life to Him, surrender to Him in baptism, believe and repent and confess His name, and be buried in Him with baptism. Be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ and raised to walk in newness of life. And if you're subject to that this morning, please come while we stand and sing together.
Number 500.